our hair, the moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I am Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope.
Daddy gonna give you something to drink now. I am joining you from the Bermuda Triangle base here in Puerto Rico. Back at the flagship station, we have producer Sam the Animal Steel. We have investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. We have the ever-elusive Mr. Mobius on the line. And, you know, Mobius, you and I had one of those deep, crazy conversations that involved technology and metaphysics. And I believe you wanted to punctuate last hour with a statement. Is that right?
I do. I think that the observation of UFOs, everybody has tried to reverse engineer them and understand, they're never going to be Newtonian. They're obviously a quantum technology. We may see hints of it in spinning magnets or in aerofluid fields turning, where we see in like gravitational or energy effects. But I think ultimately there's going to be a little trick. It's going to be a quantum trick, and it's going to open the universe to us. And I think we may be a lot closer than people think, and I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere in a lab at this very moment it does not already exist.
All right. Beautifully said, my friend. And, you know, it could be light years away. It could be right here in our own backyard where the breakthroughs happen. And I hear through the grapevine that there are a lot of heady and often controversial conversations taking place every day at, of all places, Wright's Coin Shop. Because, you know, Wright's Coin Shop is literally a famous destination, and that is due in large part to the efforts of investigator Shelley Wright. A lot of people may not think of paranormal investigation and mystery exploration and magic going hand in hand with coins, but they do. And people do walk into Wright's Coin Shop every day, and they seek you out, Shelley, and they want to tell you about their theories, their thoughts. And it's kind of like a breeding ground for metaphysical conversation, isn't it?
It really is, and it's funny that you say that, because 2 days ago I walked into work. There's this note on my desk from one of my longtime customers saying, "Hey, call me. I have this really great and true paranormal story." And I have a couple of phone numbers, an email address. I get the best mail, and it's great. I love talking about the paranormal with everybody.
And the occasional stalker who has the white van sitting in the parking lot,
yes,
with the kitties.
Yes, there are those two. Yes.
Yeah. To lure you in, Shelley Wright.
Coin stalkers.
Coin stalkers.
Tell me more about that weak penny.
We should turn that into a reality show, right?
That's it.
If Pawn Stars works, Coin Stalkers.
Children of the Coin.
That's it.
So Shelley, you know, I always tell people, like, hey, all you have to do is go to Wright's Coin Shop one time, and you don't need to hear any more advertisement. You don't need to hear any promotions. You're going to be a customer for life. It feels great to walk into Wright's Coin Shop and to walk out with some nice, shiny new coins that are going to hold their value, retain their value. It's something physical that you have in your hand. Is there anything new and interesting, anything you want to tell people who have never been there, so that they make that initial trip, they call you, they go to the website, they just look at what you guys are doing there?
We just make it so easy. Whether you call me or you come into the shop, we're very laid back. We're a fun place. I mean, obviously, it's the best place to be in the world, because you're around these beautiful coins all day long, and we just make it very, very simple for you to buy it. and put it back for a rainy day or retirement or whatever you want it for. And we have everything. We are the largest coin shop in Western North Carolina. We're the oldest also. And we have everything. We just got some 1 ounce buffalo rounds in just the other day. And also some 1 ounce silver maple leafs. And I believe we got some more gold, too. We have a little bit of everything, everything that you could want. So now is a great time to come in. And since the market has started creeping up a little bit, then that always brings people in. So you should come in now. Well, there's a great selection.
Yeah, if you go to WrightsCoinShop.com, well, the best thing, of course, is you get to see a photograph of Shelley Wright. You get to put a voice and a face together. You see a map there of how to get there, more information. That's WRIGHTS, WrightsCoinShop.com. How can people contact you otherwise? How can they call you? How do they come to see you guys, Shelley?
They can call us at 828-298-5402. Or stop by the shop. We're at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville. Sweeten Creek Road is the same thing as US 25A. And we send tweets out. You can sign up for that. We try to put all of the new things that we get in on there and just send out little updates here and there. And we're also on Facebook.
Okay. So, again, write this down, everybody, 828-298-5402, WrightsCoinShop.com. You can find them also on Twitter, on Facebook. Now, Shelley, you have a lot of fans out there. You know this.
They come in.
Yeah, they write me emails. And the fact of the matter is, it's the dark 30 hour. You're the only woman in the conversation here, So let me just throw one word out here and get your initial reaction. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Brazilian.
Ouch.
That's a good apparently.
So that is a good sign, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, she had that's a pretty good one word. Brazilian. Ouch.
Yeah, good, so you've had some experience with Brazilians because you immediately had a personal, emotional reaction to that word.
Well, let's just leave it at that.
Well, let me ask you this, Shelley, or maybe it'd be more appropriate for Sam and Mobius. Have you ever heard of a manzillion?
Well, I mean, you know, if that's your line of work, if you are, say, in the adult film industry, I think it's only right, Shelley Wright, that you would go and have a manzillion, just for solely for hygienic purposes. You know,
yeah.
But for day-to-day operations, it's a little much.
Have you ever had a manzillion?
A full? Are we talking wax? No.
Yeah,
I mean,
a wax.
Manscaping, sure. Of course.
Yeah.
I like to keep a nice trim.
You know, everybody should. It's a nice century.
You know, now this is not, I'm not making this up. This is completely true. The statistical numbers of what back in the 70s, I believe it was called crabs, almost completely extinct now. And that's mostly because of the trends in scaping.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. The crabs have less places to hide.
I did not know that.
I did not know. I didn't know anything about, you know, UFO propulsion. So
it's weird, wacky stuff. Well, here's a story from Bremerton, Washington.
Home of MXPX. Sorry, that's one of my favorite bands from Bremerton. <I don't know. laughs>
Okay. A 24-year-old man was arrested on indecent exposure charges. he told the cops that he had his pants off because they were irritating his skin after a manzillion. That's a Brazilian wax for men. Now, according to court documents, a witness said she saw a man with his tongue hanging out of his mouth exposing and touching himself while driving. He pulled up right beside her car, and she says he made sure that I saw what he was doing. She said this was no accident. So a state trooper tracked the man to a Burger King where he was walking near some bushes. The man, the man allegedly told the trooper he had gotten out of his car because, quote, he had to fart and he didn't want to do it in his car.
Fair enough.
When the trooper informed him of the indecent exposure allegations, the man said he had no idea what the person was talking about. He explained he'd been driving in his underwear because his pants were irritating his recently waxed skin. And he said to the trooper, I am a farter, not a flasher.
Where's that rim shot?
Take that. Take that, law enforcement official.
I'm a farter, not a flasher. Who do you think you're talking to?
That's another T-shirt.
Right.
Why don't you start with a bumper sticker line first? You know, just in case they don't sell well.
Yes, that's a good idea. We'll lower the risk factor.
You got like 300 cases of I'm a farter, not a flasher T-shirts.
Eventually, we're just handing them out.
She can sell them.
Right, sewing shop. Wheat pennies and...
Every time you buy $100 worth of coins, you get I'm a farter, not a flasher T-shirt.
We have plenty. Yes. What size?
Brilliant.
That's the promotion of the century.
Now, to be fair to that guy in question, in experimenting, I'd like to share a story, but I don't know, even for Dark 30, you know, there was a shaving accident, and the very next day, I had to go to the doctor. And when he told me, he's like, Mr. Steele, I'm going to need you to drop your trowel. Needless to say, I was a little bit embarrassed. A little bit. I had some devil horns. And it was like my face was red. I was sweating because it's already kind of like an awkward situation. And then he's like looking at you like, what's going on? I was like, I was experimenting.
Ladies and gentlemen of the audience, may I introduce Sam the Animal Steel? We're going to take a break. When we come back, some people are apparently very aroused by tickling. Ask yourself if you're one of those people, and I will tell you why that this is good news and bad news for some people in Boston. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I am Joshua P. Warren, and we'll be right back here on Speaking of Strange.
Or at least that's when you lose yourself for a minute or two. A dead man from a wide oak tree. People sitting on porches thinking how things used to be. Dark night, it's a dark night.
Joshua P. Warren, This is the hour of the show when we dig into the more outrageous and controversial stuff, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. These are news stories that are often more sordid and seedy, and that's why we save them for late at night. So tune out if you don't want to hear this kind of thing, or if there's someone nearby for whom you think this might be slightly inappropriate. I am Joshua P. Warren, joining you from my base here in the Bermuda Triangle. We have in West North Carolina producer Sam the Animal Steel, investigator Shelley Wright, and Mr. Mobius. And let me also remind all of you, if you get a chance, go to joshuapwarren.com, joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. Watch the video right there at the top of the site about the Wishing Machine Radionics box. It's about 10 minutes, and it's pretty amazing what you can learn in 10 minutes. And this may be something you were completely unaware of, but that's why we made the free video, so you can understand why it exists, why it's so popular, and how it literally can change your life. So, again, go to joshuapwarren.com, watch that video. Back to the Dark 30 stories. Shelley, do you have any kind of a tickling fetish?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid to ask Sam and Mobius that question. You already have something in mind, don't you, Sam?
No, I have plenty, but I hate tickling. If anybody touches my feet, anything like that, they're, like, very prone to get, like, a foot in the face accidentally. I cannot deal, and I don't really garner any pleasure in seeing tickling, or tickling people, for that matter. Unless it's with a funny yarn I spin, Josh.
All right, well, here is a story from Boston. Right now, some people there are being, well, terrorized, they say, by a serial tickler. The press there says a serial foot tickler is on the loose in Chestnut Hill. The suspect sneaks into college students' homes while they sleep. Police report at least 10 sightings of the so-called tickler. While some in the neighborhood had long believed it to be a myth, at least 3 students report having encountered him on the same night, confirming he's very real. And this goes back for almost 2 years. Again, in the beginning, no one took it seriously, but now the sergeant there at the police department says, this is no myth. It's happening. He has been terrorizing an area populated mostly by Boston College students who live off campus. let's see here. Here's a quote. I thought my friend was just trying to annoy me, but I soon realized it wasn't anyone I knew, a female college student reported. Quote, I freaked out and sat up, but he was already on the way out, end quote. this guy had broken into her house and was tickling her bare feet with a feather. They say this tickler seems to have a similar modus operandi to another foot-tickling fetishist who grabbed headlines several years ago. In 2006, media reported on the naked toe tickler who exposed himself to a number of women in Florida over a half decade, and he too would break into victims' houses and touch women's feet as they slept. Is this the same mass villain now operating in a new location? Nobody knows. Boy, that is creepy, isn't it? I mean, as silly as it sounds on the surface, I mean, anytime somebody comes into your house at night and starts messing with you, that's scary stuff right there. All right, here's a story from Suffolk, Virginia. A woman there allegedly ran an illegal strip club out of her home, but it wasn't the busts that got her busted. It was her overpriced beer. A search warrant shows that a tipster who stumbled out of her home there complained to police that they were selling crappy beer for a whopping $2 a piece. He said that was too expensive compared to other places with better strippers and beer. It turns out this was the climax of a month-long investigation into the private strip club. The ringleader was a 36-year-old woman, and she had been allegedly serving food and alcohol out of the house. And, of course, they were recruiting a variety of strippers. Let's see, they were throwing parties. When police raided the home, they found 11 bottles of liquor, 16 cans of Bud Light, 3 packs of plastic cups, and 2 marijuana roaches.
Oh.
All right. Hey, times are tough. What are you going
to
do, right?
I would go to an illegal strip club if we had one. Because, honestly, we have one here. I don't know about Puerto Rico, but here we're down to one after the big bust, no pun intended, down at the one down the way here got shut down. So we're left with one, and it's subpar, to say the least.
You see, I didn't know that, because I've been down here in Puerto Rico for months now. What happened, Sam?
Oh, it was big time. It was honestly kind of sad in a way. There was a big undercover investigation that had taken place over a period of several months. Drugs, opium trafficking, actually. And the owner, who I had at one point, you know, worked there very briefly as a DJ. All right, guys, second chance, second dance, second round, top down. It's topless time with Daytona.
That was you?
Yeah, that was me. but, you know, so she, I'd worked for her for a very short period of time. And, you know, I mean, it's a strip club. Things get a little hairy in there. And so when she got busted along with, I believe, 11 other people, she ended up killing herself very soon thereafter. And it was like, I think the first guy, he got processed through the system rather quickly, which would lead one to believe that he probably turned some evidence, and he got sentenced to like something like 14 years, 12 years, something like that. And that was a big shame, you know. I mean, it's like one thing to, you know, do something illegal or whatnot. It's another thing to like have a decent person end up having it so bad that they take their own lives. So that was kind of a shame.
So we're talking about the club right near the radio
station. Yeah, right down the road. We always tell people when they win tickets to something, turn right at the boobs and left at the Lord. So there's a church.
It's so true.
It's the South, you know. You hang right at the booby bar. And the awnings are actually, it's vacant now, and the awnings are sitting out back, and I kind of thought it would be a cool souvenir. You know.
Yeah, wow. See, I didn't know any of that. So
now we're just left with the other one.
Yeah.
And it's not very good, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, I understand that at some point some kind of ordinance was passed in Asheville saying that those two were the only two. They were kind of like grandfathered in.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's good for the one that remains. They have a monopoly on the boobage now.
Yes.
But if they go out of business, then that's it.
Maybe it's an annex to your museum.
Yeah.
It's like paranormal stuff and after-hours underground nudie bar. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Special late-night orb tour. Guaranteed orb photos.
But and the way you could get around the law, the way you could skirt it, is none of those are actual live humans. They're all apparitions.
Yes, so they don't apply.
Right.
Laws
don't apply to ghosts.
You're a regular P.T. Barnum, Sam.
Let's
make it happen. All right, let's see. Let's get started on this story before we go to break here. You know, this kind of thing just always makes me feel so icky when I read stuff like this. Here, a headline, drunk woman busted for loud sex in airplane bathroom. Those bathrooms are just so gross and tiny and cramped. I don't see how people pull that off. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will explain. And then, yes, we are also going to give you a Florida story.
Hey,
what can I say? We won't disappoint. Yeah, it's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Stick around for more on Speaking of Strange right after these very important messages. Yes, the short 30 hour on Speaking of Strange, brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can go to WrightsCoinShop.com or call 828-298-5402. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And it is the program where the unusual becomes usual. This is when we talk about some of the more outrageous and controversial stuff. This is a warning for you. It's not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So tune out if you think this type of content is not right for you. I also want to remind you, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you will find some UFO and USO photos. You will find links to some free audiobooks about angels and demons, as well as a section of the world's wildest ghost photos. All that stuff is free for you if you go to joshuapwarren.com. By the way, for the free audiobooks, you can also go to warrenaudiobooks.com. Next Friday, of course, is going to be Friday the 13th of June, and I am scheduled to be on the Sean David Morton program, Strange Universe, and we had some great feedback from last week, Speaking of Strange, where we were talking about mind machines. And so I'm going to go on Sean's show, and we're going to spend about an hour and a half talking about mind-powered warfare in particular. And that's something we touched on last week that a lot of you found interesting. So if you want to hear an in-depth conversation on that subject, again, just go to StrangeUniverseRadio.com on Friday the 13th, about 6 p.m. Eastern time, and tune in. Here is the story I was talking about before the break. Drunk woman busted for loud sex in airplane bathroom. Obviously, we've all heard what happens in Vegas. Well, stays in Vegas. But what happens on the way to Vegas is apparently everyone's business. An irate young woman had to be restrained after cabin crew members busted up her tryst with a man in the bathroom during a Virgin Airlines flight to Las Vegas from London. Yeah, figures, doesn't it? Passengers told the Sun there they saw the woman, who was in her 20s and traveling with her parents, flirting and, quote, getting heated with the guy next to her, end quote. People began to complain about hearing loud sex noises. After the couple retreated to a restroom, crew members forced the restroom door open and thwarted the couple's mile-high induction ceremony. They said it sounded like the couple were trying to tear the walls out. They were making noises like a moose. That sounds sexy as hell. So the woman who told the Daily Mail, and this woman was described as drunken, she said that, you know, this was unwarranted, but everybody else says that the woman became abusive toward the cabin crew, and basically they ended up cuffing her to her seat, and U.S. authorities questioned her once the plane landed, but they let her go with a warning. It appeared the woman did not know the man whom she joined in the restroom prior to getting on the plane. You know, this sort of thing happens from time to time, but I am, you know, I'm 6 foot two. You're a tall guy, Sam. How tall are you?
I'm 6'6". I can't even urinate in a plane bathroom.
Oh, I can barely do it at my height. So I don't understand. You know, I read these stories on Speaking of Strange about two people going into a bathroom, closing the door, and getting it on. Not only are those bathrooms extremely disgusting, but I don't understand how you can physically do this. I mean, honestly, Sam, okay, at your height, 6 foot six, okay, when you go into
5'18".
Okay, when you go into an airplane bathroom, A, you're definitely not going to sit on the toilet because, you know, you're too big for that, Ian.
No.
Yeah, and but how nasty is it? Not to mention, there is the slight possibility that when you sit on the toilet if a crack occurs in the plumbing, an instant vacuum will develop, which will suck your butt to the seat and literally gut you.
The Mythbusters debunked that, did they not?
I want to continue believing it's true. I like the idea that somehow this can happen.
I bet you do.
Yeah, but nonetheless, I don't see physically how people go into these bathrooms and get it on. Can you see that happening unless, you know, your lady friend is like a midget or something? I don't know. And with apologies to midgets.
I don't believe that's the correct nomenclature.
Little people.
Yes. I honestly don't see the point. It's like they've reduced space so much, you know, to try to get more, you know, revenue. So I think they've even made the bathroom smaller. The only bonus about being tall is, like, you can kind of wedge your head in sideways, and it's a nice way to kind of stay wedged in there and not move around during turbulence. But, no, I mean, if you're, like, that worked up on a flight. Now, did you say it was transatlantic, right?
Yeah, it was from London to Vegas.
Yeah, so it's a long flight, you know, but that's what they supply the blankets for.
Is that why, really?
Well, it's one of the reasons. It's way more hygienic and safe than going into a bathroom twofer at a time.
Yeah. And you know, I must say that when I went to Europe in 2012, I was on British Airlines, and everything was a little nicer and bigger. So, I mean, maybe
really
the bathrooms are a little bit bigger. Yeah, you flew
British
the same
Air's
flight
great.
I did.
British Air is great,
Shelley.
Yeah. We all love British Air.
Yeah. That was when we went to Transylvania.
Right. Yeah, you went to Transylvania. I remember that.
Yeah, Shelley was on that same trip, and we went over and investigated all of Vlad's castles in Transylvania.
Awesome. Getting a cool souvenirs.
I have a whole exhibit at my museum of things I brought back from Transylvania. So you must go check it out.
That's awesome.
Okay, next story. This comes to us from, are you ready, Shelley? Boca Raton, Florida.
Ding, ding.
And this is just such a typical Florida story headline. It says here, Florida man drives naked and masturbates in attempt to entice trucker. The art of the headline, right? You know, it's like sometimes you don't even need to read the story.
I was going to say, just end it while you're on top there.
Yeah, exactly. While everybody's applauding, move on. But no, we have a journalistic responsibility somewhere in the annals of history. Okay, naked driver, blah, blah, blah. Okay, they say this is, wait for it, autoeroticism. Oh, yeah. 22-year-old man from Boca Raton was arrested by the Florida Highway Patrol. They received a call about 12:49 a.m., so this would be after midnight, reporting the man was masturbating while driving down I-95. Now, you know, that's kind of funny because you envision this would happen during daylight hours. So I'm thinking, without reading any further, must have been like an interior light or something. So this guy really wanted to be seen. The caller, a semi-truck driver, said the man was completely naked behind the wheel and seemed to be matching the speed of the rig.
In which way? Are we talking like the car or his hand?
Right. Good question. The semi-truck driver told police the guy was, quote, enticing him and he was totally creeped out, end quote. Trooper said the man was clothed when they pulled him over, but they did note his fly was down.
It was a semi-truck.
Yes. And I think he was driving a stick shift.
Oh.
That is some multitasking he had going on.
This is too much.
Where's this show gone down the crapper? What happened to the paranormal stuff, huh?
Yeah, right. It's actually, this is kind of paranormal for my life, but, you know, normal in the life of Sam the Animal Steel.
I did drive a butt naked once back from New Orleans, somewhere in Louisiana-ish, all the way to outside of Atlanta, Georgia. one night. I was a drinking feller back then. But I was butt naked behind the wheel of a Toyota Tacoma, probably 4 or 5 hours straight.
Wow.
See, if you need to get back in the swing of things, you can be Dark 30 material. And it's funny because when you read these stories, they always toss in like one last little reference, like, oh, and by the way,
also,
last April, a former vice mayor of a Tennessee town was accused of masturbating with his penis out the car window while driving 90 miles per hour.
Such like, talent.
Was that necessary to just like stick that in at the end? But that's how they set these stories
Talk
up.
Talk about a double entendre.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will wrap the show up with the stories I have saved for the end of the night. I am Joshua P. Warren. This is the Dark 30 Hour. You are listening to Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you can go check out the website, see a photograph of Miss Shelley Wright and all the info you would ever want at wrightscoinshop.com. It's also linked up conveniently for you at speakingofstrange.com. Wright's Coin Shop is located at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road, and you can call them at 828-298-5402. Write that number down, 828-298-5402. And remember now, if you miss an edition of Speaking of Strange, well, we do have podcasts posted at speakingofstrange.com. They're free to download. You don't have to sign up for anything. There are no gimmicks or strings attached. They're just MP3s. You can download them and listen to them at your leisure. So, here are the last couple stories of the night, and, you know, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. That's your warning. These are sordid, seedy stories. Tune out if you don't want to hear that kind of thing, or if there's somebody around who shouldn't hear that kind of thing. We believe, well, maybe we have some kind of responsibility on this program to clarify, to define, to separate fact from fiction. So some people have been rather alarmed because of this McDonald's story that's come out recently. And, Mr. Mobius, you brought this to my attention. And I want to thank you again on the air for all the research that you do, providing fantastic content for these shows. A lot of people have been alarmed because we love good old-fashioned things have gone wrong at McDonald's stories. Okay, nothing is more Americana than that. But there is a story that's been circulating about McDonald's. And the story is from Michigan about a woman, 31 years old, who apparently ordered a McChicken sandwich. The story says halfway through, she noticed a clump of mayonnaise on the side of her bun. When she licked it off, she realized that she could recognize the taste, and it was not mayonnaise. After this, she claimed that she awoke with a red rash in the corner of her mouth that developed blisters, and she had contracted herpes. So the story was she believed that her hot and spicy McChicken sandwich there had given her herpes. We are happy to report, Mr. Mobius, this story is debunked, is it not?
It is debunked. It has been absolutely put to bed. It did not happen, and it is fictitious.
Okay, so there you go. Don't worry about that. See, McDonald's, you owe us one. We're doing our best here to make sure everybody knows the truth.
Well, there goes the T-shirt, that's not mayonnaise.
No, we can still do the T-shirt.
All right.
It will apply somehow, somewhere, someday. But now this last story apparently is true. Here's the headline. Doctor places bolt cutters on man's penis. They say, well, you've heard of nuts and bolts, but what about that combo? An emergency room physician had to use a tool to save a man's tool from possible gangrene. The patient had placed a steel ring around his genitals, and the ring was on there for about 4.5 hours. And yes, sure enough, they actually had to bring in the jaws of life.
Dun, 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 dun.
Boy, whoever created the jaws of life is a rich person.
Yeah, they couldn't be the real jaws of life. Those are huge. I mean, well, who are we talking about here? Mandingo? What kind of what type of ring are they removing from this feller?
Well, the doctor said that he felt the guy already had probably suffered some tissue loss, and he said he took out bolt cutters and pressed as hard as he could. Doctor says, quote, it didn't even scratch the surface of the ring, end quote.
That's quality.
Exactly. The man had used a case-hardened steel ring. And that's apparently pretty hardcore when it comes to this kind of thing. That's when they got the jaws of life.
What do you use on yours? If it's not case hardened, then what are you using?
I just use regular old rubber bands. $2.95 for a whole pack at Walmart. So I believe that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I thank Brian Hall, Sam Still, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Till next time, we will be at speakingofstrange.com. I'm going to be doing a free webinar sometime this month. If you want to be a part of that, be sure to sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter there at speakingofstrange.com. And tune in next week for a brand new show. You are commanded.